Good morning, Cornerstone. Good morning, Cornerstone. Hey, you are all here. Good, good. It is good to be together, guys, today. As we always sing when we start, right? And today, the songs that I chose, I just want us to enjoy the goodness of God. Can we do that? Like, I don't know what you're coming in with, but my friend Joyce and Ed shared this book with me called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. I've been reading that, and I don't know if Psalm 23 has been good for your heart, but let me just remind you of his goodness. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can we rise together and just enjoy the goodness of God?
Heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good Father, it's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you, it's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. I've seen many searching for far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. You call me deeper still as you call me deeper still as you call me deeper still into love, love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are.
Lord is my shepherd, shall not be in want.
You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I
am. Tell him you love him.
Love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will see of the goodness of God.
Sing that again.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will see of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will see of the goodness. Darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. Goodness is running out, it's running after me. Your goodness is running out, it's running after me. My life laid down, surrendered, now I give you everything. Your goodness is running out, it's running.
Sing it out now.
Your goodness is running out. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. And with my life laid down, I'm surrendered. Now I give you everything. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. So, so good.
With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
I will sing of the goodness of God. Yes, I will sing of the goodness.
All of my days, you come running after me. Lord, thank you for your goodness. We don't always understand you, but we are learning to trust you. God, you are good. Lift us up today, God. We come to you thirsty. We come to you hungry. We come to you needy. God, I pray that you'll meet us here. We know you're always with us. But God, as we open your word, as we come together, you can meet us in a special way. And I pray that you do that as we sing, as we listen, as we understand your word, as we discuss, as we interact with what you've said. God, meet us here. And may each person here be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. It's good to be together today, guys. It's good to sing together. We have a question of the day, and I want to just throw this out there. We're talking about parents and kids and stuff. So if you could be any age, if you could choose an age to be, what would you choose? How many of you, just quick, how many of you would choose to be older than you are? I'd like to be older. How many of you like to be younger than you are? And how many of you don't want to make a decision? All right, well, turn to somebody and say, this is the age that I would want to be if I could choose. And kids third grade and below can head downstairs for children's church. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Hey, I would choose 40, 48. I'm 48 now, and I'm happy with the age I'm at, so I'm good. Anybody good with the age you're at right now? Couple people, okay, good. You don't all have to be. It's okay to wish you were younger, older, whatever. Okay, guys, we are at the last chapter of the book of Ephesians. We've been in Ephesians for a while. This isn't the last Sunday in Ephesians, but we're in the last chapter. You all know I take a few weeks to go through a chapter sometimes. But the Apostle Paul specifically addresses children and dads in this passage. So as we kind of get ourselves ready to jump into this, think about this. In the few words that Paul has to share, what does he say to kids and what does he say to dads? Because he doesn't say much. So I want you to open your Bible if you got a Bible with you. Use the Bible app. We got notes in the Bible app and stuff like that. But let me just read the passage and then we're going to dig into it together. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Children, obey. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So if you guys have been with us the last couple weeks, it's been pretty intense. We've been talking about marriage and husbands and wives and submission and sacrifice, kind of awkward, tense subjects. And it was really good for me to think about and process. I hope it was good for you guys too.
But we're going to change the tone a little bit. We're going to change the feel a little bit today. I'm glad we got a house full because we're going to do some discussion. And you're going to be in groups. Like, you can set your own groups. Don't worry. Like, you can talk to whoever you want to. But I'm going to ask you to turn some people near you and discuss some of this passage. So that's a heads up. It's going to feel a little bit different. I'm not going to talk the whole time. I've been doing a lot of talking. I still am going to talk today. Don't worry about that. I can't help that. But I'm going to pose some questions, and you can talk about it with people. So look around and see, like, okay, who might be in my group? Groups of 3 to 5 people is ideal, and people that you can see and reach with your voice. So if you're Rick on this corner, is probably not going to talk to Mike on that corner. Like, that's not a good group. But if you're near each other, okay. So please try to include everybody. If there's somebody left out, they're going to be really bored today. Like, let's not have anybody be bored. And if you're online, if you're with us online, you can join too. Their discussion questions will be posted in the chat if you're on Facebook. And you can discuss by responding to the comment, the question in the chat. So then those who watch later, they can also read the comments and be part of the discussion. So here we go. I'm going to read it again. What does it say? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Okay, so this is God's word written by the Apostle Paul, right? So when God specifically addresses kids and dads, why does he choose these commands? That's your first question for discussion. I want you to think about that. Why does he choose these commands? Children, obey your parents. Fathers, don't exasperate your kids. He could have said just about anything. He could have said, children, be kind to your siblings. Learn to share. Don't chew with your mouth open. He could have said any. Go to school. Learn all you can about God. Don't hit. Don't bite. Stop biting. Eat your vegetables. Make sure you get enough sleep. He could have said like anything, right? To fathers, he could have said, fathers, you make sure you provide for your family. Dads, don't exploit your kids or use them for your own advantage. Love your children. Fathers, be the example of godliness. He could have said all of those things. So why do you think this is what God emphasizes when right here he addresses kids and dads? I want you to think about it. I want you to process this. So take a couple minutes right now to talk about what do you think in your groups of 3 to 5-ish. You got a couple minutes. Go. Questions on the screen. All right, I'm gonna have to cut you off. It's good to hear all that discussion. A couple of you share. What was some of the stuff that you talked about? Anybody willing to shout it out? There's actually a microphone that's picking it up so live stream people can hear what you say. Just so you know. But what came up in your group? Anybody? You were all talking.
It's kind of a catch-all, especially for the kids. Like, honor your father and your mother. Mm-hmm. For a reason. They love you. They know more.
Yeah.
They're going to do their best to help you. Not the best. It's
right.
The best.
Right. It's a pretty big, broad thing. It's a catch-all. Yeah. What else came up? Yes.
Someone said that it's telling your children to, like, obey your parents even if they're exasperating you, because your dad is gonna fail sometimes, and it's telling fathers to not to exasperate the children because they're gonna fail at obeying them sometimes.
Wow, guys. I can close in prayer right now. Did you guys all hear that? Did you all hear that? Telling kids to obey your parents even if they're exasperating you because they're going to fail you sometimes. And parents to don't exasperate your kids because they're actually going to fail to obey sometimes. Man. That was good. That was good. Okay. We'll ask for some more of that feedback later. There's three more times going to break you guys into groups again. Same groups all day. But guys, of all the things he could have said, he said, children, obey. And dads, don't exasperate. And I would suggest you heard some good answers. And here's what I was thinking. One is these are core commands for the role. This is like if you're a child in a family, you're a dependent, you're underneath someone's authority. This is a core command for you. Dads, this is really important because you're probably going to do this. You're going to fall into this. And I'd like to suggest that these specific things are tremendous temptations for that role. Kids are very much going to be tempted to disobey their parents. Dads are going to fall into exasperating their kids. Exasperate means to provoke to anger, to stir up, to frustrate, to irritate, to annoy. Like, there's a lot to it. But it's a big temptation and it's a stumbling block. We fall into it. So I want to kind of break it down some and talk about the dads first. I want to talk about the dads. I can exasperate my kids like a pro. So I don't know if my son was part of that discussion, like, you need to obey even if they're exasperating you, because it's going to happen. Ethan taught me a new video game this week, computer game, and it's called Basket Random. Anybody play Basket Random? Oh, it's excellent. It's excellent. I got one with me. It's a perfect game for me because you only need one button. That's my kind of game. I can't handle two or more buttons. I got one button, so we started playing. I started beating him. Guess what that did to him? That was exasperating. Like, what the? My 48-year-old dad's beating me in this video game. But then I thought about, like, don't exasperate your kids. Okay, so, but if I let him win, guess what that's going to do? That also is going to exasperate him. He does not want me to let him win. There are a lot of ways to exasperate your kids. Many ways. We can't always prevent it, but we can definitely reduce it. So I got maybe a more serious example. One thing that has exasperated every one of my kids. I have four. Three are adults, and one is mostly pretty much an adult, but not quite. He's getting there. All of them have been exasperated by me and Ann not giving them a phone until they're 16. Like, 16. Yeah, that was our decision. All their friends had phones when they were 8.
Child abuse.
Mute that for the recording. We have held our guns. It has been a consistent thing for each one of our kids, 16. And even then, it's not a right. You got to demonstrate you're ready for it. That has been frustrating for each one of my kids. And they've all tried to negotiate and talk us down, like, what about sooner? But we held to it because we believe it's better for their brains and better for themselves as a whole to not have that. It's more worthwhile to have the sacrifice. Like, you can't talk to me. You can't call me when soccer practice is over. You got to borrow your friend's phone, or we got to just set up a time. Like, it's inconvenient, but we believe it's better. And I'm not trying to tell other parents what to do. This is just what our decision has been in navigating technology with our kids. It's a decision we've tried to make. It's not a law. The Bible doesn't say, don't give your phones kids a phone until their 16th birthday. The Bible does not say that anywhere. So it's just a decision we made.
So how does that relate to our passage? Fathers, don't exasperate your kids. If that decision exasperates them, maybe we should just give them a phone already so they're not exasperated. Is that what we got here? It's not. It's not. Because God is not saying, let your kids make the rules. It's not saying, let your kids run the house, let your kids make all the decisions. What it's saying is, don't frustrate them unnecessarily. Literally, don't provoke them to anger. Like my wife was telling me about the parent that she heard about who his child was up on a counter or on a ledge. He said, come jump to me. And the kid was like, leapt out there and he backed off and let him hit the floor. You need to know you can't trust people. That's bad. Bad. And I think you already know that, right? That is not okay. That is really bad on many, many levels. So we're not talking about that. Don't provoke them to anger. So in the cell phone example, when they complain about it, to exasperate that even more is to blow them off and say, deal with it. That's our decision. That's what we've got. So that's just tough. I got to give them the reason. I got to explain it to them. I give them if I just make the rule without the reason, that's unnecessary exasperation. I got to respect my kids enough to explain the why. It's not about money. It's not about control. The reason is because I care very, very much about you. And I believe it's better for you in the long run to not have that phone at that point than to have one. And we could talk about the addictive nature of cell phones. We could talk about the dangers on the internet, potential emotional harm in social media, all those things. But when your kids are teens, when they're even elementary, upper, middle, elementary, we got to respect them enough to explain the why. Not to do that is exasperating. Because I said so might work when they're this tall, but not when they're this tall. And I can tell you that none of my kids have enjoyed waiting that long to get a phone. We got one more in line. He's got 1 year to go. None of them like it. But I think all of them have begun to realize at least some of the value of it. And I'll give an example. I got permission. I communicated with my daughter in Malaysia to get permission about this. Karis, she impressed me big time. She got her phone at 16. She finally got on social media about 17. She got Facebook, and okay, that's fine. Then she's like, I want to get Snapchat. And if you're a parent, like, that's just one of those apps that just terrifies me because you take pictures, they disappear. There's no accountability. No, you can't prove anything. Like, bad things can happen on Snapchat. But she's like, I really want to, all my friends have Snapchat. And we're like, that's really terrifying. But she's 17. She's 17. So we had a conversation. We talked about the dangers that we saw. And she's like, what's a big deal? And, well, here's what we see. But we chose to give her the responsibility. You got to handle Snapchat responsibly and wisely. And so she got Snapchat. And at first, she's on that thing all the time. She's like, selfies everywhere, thousands and thousands of selfies. And we're like, oh, no. This isn't going well. But after a couple months, on her own, apart from any nagging or any conversation with us, she actually put social media time restraints on her own phone. And you know what she gave herself? 15 minutes a day. If I did that to my daughter, I would go to jail. She did that herself. Man, my heart did loops. Like, are you serious? That is amazing. That was just such a huge win. She's acting responsibly without us telling her what to do. She's becoming an adult and being responsible. So, fathers, be careful. Don't exasperate your kids. It's so hard to keep this instruction from God. There are so many ways that we can fall into this. And when kids become teens, oh my goodness, it's a minefield. It's like Indiana Jones. Like, you're not going to miss some of these. You're going to step on them. So here's your next group conversation. What are some of the ways dads exasperate their kids? I was kind of thinking, man, it'd be great if we had a kid in every group, because man, the kids know. They know how dad. But just go ahead in your groups, just discuss some of the ways dads exasperate their kids. Online, go ahead and comment in the chat. What do you think of? Yeah.
Bring it in. Bring it in. Let's hear from you. Let's hear from some of our kids. Let's hear from some of the kids. What are some ways that dads exasperate their kids? Not giving them a phone is the first thing I heard.
Not letting them eat Oreos.
Not letting them eat Oreos. Oh, man. For breakfast. Yes. Yeah. Do your homework before you play video games. Man, we're talking about really bad stuff here.
Texting, I'm going to call the hospital when I forget to say that I arrived at somewhere.
Oh, overreacting, right? I'm going to call the hospital. You didn't tell me you made it to school. I'm calling the hospital. I'm calling the police. Calling the military. Overreacting. Yes, what else? Oh, not letting me see my friends whenever I want. Yeah. What else? Adults or kids can answer this. We all have answers for this question.
Not admitting when you're wrong.
Oh, not admitting when you're wrong. Yeah, dads. Oh, please. Yes.
Limit video gameplay.
Limiting video gameplay. You can only play 6 hours a day. What? What else? Wash the dishes. I know, chores? That's so stupid. That's for moms and dads. What else? Mixed messages. Yeah. What else? Say what?
Telling me to steep my tea shorter than it should have.
Oh, you gotta stop steeping your tea so long. I know who's dad. You have. He's got a timer. There's a right way to do it, guys. Kids need to learn. What else?
I would never do this, but embarrassing them in public.
Embarrassing them in public. Obviously. Obviously, he would never do this. Who's your daughter? Stand up. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, yeah, yeah. How about excessive consequences? Or hypocrisy? How about not keeping a promise? My dad said. It's a big deal for the kid, but it's not a big deal for the dad. There's so many ways, guys. Lack of grace, feeling ignored. Man, I made a list of 14 ways that I have probably exasperated my kids. Guys, we need to watch out for this. It's so easy to do. But we have a higher calling. We have a higher calling. What does the passage tell us? It doesn't say only don't exasperate your kids. It says instead, flip it, here we go. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. That's a real churchy phrase, isn't it? Like, okay, what? What is bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord? I want to break it down a little bit. The word training actually refers to the big picture, like the total education of the child. Bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. This is the whole thing. Everything your kids are going to need to learn from you. This includes hygiene. It includes manners. It includes basic education. It includes relationships, respect. But it also includes the big things. Like, learn to love God. I want you to know and love God with all your heart. I want to lead you to Jesus. I want to teach you how to follow him, what that means, what that looks like by doing it and teaching you how to do it. It's raising our kids to know and follow Jesus. That's training them. It's the big picture. God expects fathers to be the engine behind the total development and maturity of your kids. Fathers. Bring them up. Raise them up. So training and instruction. What's the word instruction mean? It doesn't look like it when you read it, but it actually is really the discipline part of it in the original language. This is about discipline, correct. This is the correction side. You got to be willing to discipline. You got to be willing to call them out. You're not just going to be their friend. You're going to be their parent. And you got to correct in appropriate ways. Lovingly, privately, thank you, Matt, and with grace. But we got to provide clear guardrails.
this is okay, this is not, we got to help them stay on the right path. So in the training part, that first word, you're following the wisdom of Deuteronomy 6. Moses speaking to all of Israel, he said this is a famous quote, this is really, really important for the Jewish people, but it still applies today. He said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. These commands I give you today are to be upon your hearts, O Israel. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads." This is like tattoo that thing all over. "Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates." Like this, what is he talking about? That means the subject of God and spiritual things is not reserved for 9 o'clock Sunday morning. That means spiritual instructions coming up at home regularly in structured ways and unstructured ways, spontaneous ways. That means there's some kind of scheduled time when you're going to read Bible stories to your kids, where you're going to teach them the Bible. Maybe it's bedtime, maybe it's dinner time, but there's something scheduled. There's a regular instruction. You're raising them up, but there's also unplanned conversations. Something happens. You get hurt. You had a bad day at school. There's discipline. There's problems. There's joys. And you're bringing God into that as life happens. Bring them up. Dads and moms, this is primarily your job, not the church's job. We as the church, we want to help. We got some resources in the library downstairs. You can check those things out. You can have some tools. We want to support. We want to talk about it. We want to support each other. But God has assigned the primary responsibility to you to spiritually raise your kids, train them, and instruct them or discipline them. And this is hard, guys, because it's constantly changing. Your kids keep changing. They're not the same tomorrow as they were yesterday. So you have to change in that. Toddlers, you're teaching them different stuff than what you're teaching teenagers. Toddlers, you just got to teach them who's the boss. That's what they need right now. And you're not doing it for your ego, for your comfort. Like, I'm so tired. No. You're doing it for their good. Because if they don't learn to obey you, it's not going to go well with them later. That's what he says. Honor your father and mother. It's the first commandment with promise that it may go well with you. If you don't learn this, it's not going to go well with you. We do it because we love them. So toddlers, man, they got to learn to come when you say come. They got to learn to stop when you say stop. I remember when AJ was teaching her kids that. Little Isaac running across the parking lot. Gonna get hit by a bus. Like, that's not okay. He's got a car. Sorry, we got a bus driver here. Don't say bus. But they got to stop. They got to obey right away. Not the third time or the fourth time when they detect you're starting to get angry enough to actually do something. You're training your kids. Don't do that. They need to learn if they don't obey you, even when you're using a normal voice, there's going to be unpleasant consequences. Because God doesn't usually yell. He speaks pretty quietly. If you got to hear his voice by reading this, it's not loud. So in our family, that discipline as toddlers included spanking. And I know that's controversial, but I'm not telling you what you got to do, but God might tell you what you got to do. For us, it was mostly between the ages of 2 and 5. 2 to 5 was the window, and you can agree or disagree, that's fine. But I want to give you 4 things to keep in mind about physical discipline. If you're going to do that, and I do recommend you do, you need to keep these 4 things in mind. This is really, really important. It's all part of this. See if my clicker can work. No. So here's the first one. God says this in Proverbs 13:24. This has really been important to me. He who spares the rod hates his son. Oh, wow. If you choose not to discipline, you hate your son. He who loves him is careful to discipline him. That's a big deal. Discipline is uncomfortable for parents. We don't want to do it. We'd rather not. But who are we loving most by avoiding that discomfort? It's not them. Number 2, let's see if we got this. Never, ever spank in anger. Never spank in anger. You don't discipline because you're frustrated. You discipline because you love them. And it's so important they learn to obey. And y'all know discipline changes as kids grow up, right? 2 to 5 was the years that we practiced spanking our kids. Here's another thing. Spanking needs to cause brief pain, but never leave a lasting mark, right? We're not talking about abuse. We're talking about discipline. And we're not using discipline to vent our anger on our kids. That is abuse, even if it doesn't leave marks. If you're venting anger, that's abuse. Brief pain. I remember my dad had to talk to my mom. He's like, what you're doing is not doing anything right now. Like, it needs to be a little more forceful. It has to do something or it's worthless. And then 4, spanking should be reserved for clear acts of rebellion, not accidents, even serious ones, even costly ones. You don't discipline for that. You instruct for that. You teach and train, you coach, but clear acts of rebellion, disobedience. I learned that from Chip Ingram in a parenting class. That one stuck with me. It's got to be clear acts of rebellion. Are they flagrantly disobeying you? Like the time one of my kids was like this tall and like you cannot, they were grabbing a doily and pulling it off the table and pulling it off the table. And we're like, no, slap the hand. No, you can't do that. Grab the doily, pull it off the table. They did it like 25 times. And like we slapped the hand. We were spanking. Like we were not abusing. But this was a moment. They're like, no, I'm going to do it. What are you going to do? They're looking over like, what are you going to do? That's important. That's important that you're consistent, that you they need to understand they can't do just whatever they want. They have to understand there's an authority in the home and it's not them. And Ann and I have not spanked our kids for years and years, since they were like 5 or 6 years old. That was an important season of life. It was hard. It was hard, and they got older, and they learned who's the boss, who's the authority in the house, and they still try to get away with some stuff here and there. We won't talk about those stories. That's fine, but those early years are important, really important. Why is discipline so important? This says bring your kids up in the teaching and instruction of the Lord in the discipline. Why is it important? They need to learn they're not the boss. They need to learn the world doesn't revolve around them. That's for their safety, for their good, because guess what? Like it or not, down the road, they're going to have other bosses. And the consequences of those bosses are going to be worse than a spanking. And ultimately, you want them to naturally transfer the respect they have developed for you as their authority to respect and obedience to God as their ultimate authority. That's where you're trying to go. And listen to this. Your kids will never develop a love for God if they're not willing to acknowledge Him as their authority. They'll never develop a love for God if they never develop a respect for His authority. Discipline's important. Fathers, bring your kids up in the training and instruction of the Lord. It's a long road, and it keeps changing, and it's not always clear. There's a lot of variety to it. Every kid is different, but it's really important. Now, I'm happy to say we got some good fathers in this room. We got some fathers that are taking this seriously. That are doing this. You're committed to your family. You're raising them up. You're teaching them, and you're all at different places, and that's fine. Keep going. Your kids need you. But what about moms? Moms get to be part of this too. We're not leaving the moms out. Why doesn't the passage mention moms? Why does it say fathers? Why does it say parents? Why does it say fathers and mothers? I'll give you 2 reasons. 1, dads are way more likely to exasperate their kids. Just the way it is. Moms tend to be better at listening and nurturing. And when you can do that, you're less likely to exasperate, even if you do something they don't appreciate. Dads often miss that. This is the way it is. And there's all different personalities, but it's true that moms and dads can both be guilty of provoking their kids to anger. Absolutely true. But dads do it more. They just do. But there's another reason. In Ephesians 5, God explained this is the authority structure in the home. This is how it works. Ephesians 5:23, He said, husbands, or you could parentheses, dads, you're the head of your family. You are in charge. Dads, you have the ultimate responsibility to do this. This is on your shoulders as dads. So the reality is it's on your shoulders, but it's also something that your partner in life is also part of. This is a team effort, husband and wife team, when both parents are available. We got a lot of families that both parents are not available. So if dad's not around, this calling, you got to replace fathers for you. If you're a mom and there's no dad, this is parents. Moms, don't exasperate your kids. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So I want to think about the kids for a minute too. It starts with kids, and I skipped that because I'm a dad, and man, it starts with dads, right? We've got to do this. So here's another discussion. What are some reasons why children disobey their parents? Groups, go. What do we got? You know, I love seeing the smiles. As you guys are discussing, there's smiles, there's laughter. It looks like you're having fun talking about this, talking about why kids disobey their parents. I don't know. What came up?
See what you can get away with.
See what you can get away with. Testing the lines. Yeah. What else?
Rebellion.
They just want to. What else?
Outside
it. They'd rather obey someone or something else. What else? Your smile is too big. You can't talk right now. No, go ahead.
Your son said that because they want some excitement.
They want some excitement. I'm bored. Tired of Little House on the Prairie. I want to watch something else. I just turned the dial. Like, how old is that? Wow. Okay, sorry. Yeah.
For the record, I did not know what you did there.
Yeah, see? So, who knew what I did when I did this? All right, thank you. You can relate to me, some of you can. Okay. Yeah.
It's not very convenient.
It's inconvenient. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Uh-huh.
It's too old-fashioned. You were our age like 20 or 30 years ago, and that was back then. We don't know what it's like to be our age at that time.
Exactly. Parents have no idea what they're talking about.
Kids want attention.
There's a lot of reasons, huh? A lot of reasons. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I think big picture, kids want to be their own authority. They want to make their own decisions. And guys, that's true from the age of two. When they're sitting in the high chair, chucking their broccoli on the floor, saying, no! Not eating that. Give me some Skittles. I'll be good. From that age to the teenage years, when they're actually supposed to start making their own decisions, and sometimes they genuinely believe my parents are so clueless. Maybe sometimes they're right. Maybe sometimes they're not. But kids don't want somebody else telling them what to do. Guess what? Adults don't like that either. So children here, they're called to obey. But think about this. To what degree am I as a parent called to enforce their obedience? To what degree? Because we talked about husbands. Husbands are not called to enforce their wives to submit. That is, we talked about that. You go back to that sermon, listen to that. Their husbands are supposed to love their wives sacrificially no matter what. Is it the same with parents? Is it the same with parents? It's actually not. It's slightly different because the very next verse calls parents to bring up their kids in the training and instruction of the Lord. It calls us to bring discipline. Now, we cannot force obedience. You can't. We can try. We especially can't force obedient hearts. Absolutely not. But we can give consequences. You may choose to do that, but this is what's going to happen if you do. We can teach. We can train. That's our job as parents. Bring them up. Parenting is hard, guys. It's exhausting when they're little. It's confusing when they're big. It keeps changing, and they're constantly growing, and challenge, new challenges come up. So if kids are called to obey, and I'm called to train my kids, when does a parent put their foot down, and when do they let them make their own mistakes? How do we make that transition from obey your parents to make good choices on your own? That's hard. I don't know if I can completely solve that dilemma, but there are two things in this passage I find helpful about that. One is with this command to the children, there are two levels, two layers to the command. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Kids who are still living at home are called to obey. They got to obey as if they're obeying the Lord. Obey your parents in the Lord. You obey your parents as if you're obeying the Lord himself. Now, if they're telling you to do something, the Lord says, don't do that, then you have to disobey that. But you got to obey as if you're obeying the Lord, because when kids become adults, they got to have a similar spirit towards their heavenly Father. So obedience is the emphasis for kids. Young kids need to learn to obey and give appropriate consequences when they don't. But the second layer is different. It's honor. Honor your father and mother. That's deeper than obedience. And it doesn't have an expiration date. Adults are called to honor their parents. Kids reach a point, this is good news for you kids, you reach a point where you're no longer required to obey your parents. Some of you it's closer than for others. When you reach adulthood and you're acting like an adult, you're paying your own bills, you're living out from under your parents' roof. Maybe you're single, maybe you're married, it doesn't matter. But at that point, you're no longer dependent on your parents. You're no longer under their authority. So that's hope for you guys. You don't have to obey all the way through. You become an adult, and you are the authority of your home, and you have a higher authority who is God. So the hope is that at that point, you're mature enough to make good decisions and to see yourself as under God's authority. But parents have to back off at that point. Parents have to back off. These kids, your kids are under God's authority now, not yours. So as independent adults, there are going to be times when your kids' decisions are going to contradict what you would prefer. I'm sure that happened to my parents. I'm sure that happened. It happens with all parents, and that's okay, as long as it doesn't contradict the Heavenly Father's desires and commands. And sometimes even then it will. Kids are going to do what they're going to do, but if they're adults, you got to give them space. You got to give them space to make mistakes. And as kids, you need, your calling is not necessarily to obey at that point, but it is to honor them, and that's possible to do. I mean, there's sometimes, like, if there's a family business, there's a lot of pressure to take over the family business. What if you're not called to do that? That's seriously disappointing maybe to the parents, but that might not be your calling. You might need to say, you know what? Respectfully, I think God has something different for me to do. You can disobey and honor at the same time. And that's important. We learn how to do that as we grow into adulthood. Don't have to be rude. Don't have to be in your face. Here's an example that came to my mind from many, many years ago. I knew somebody who wanted to marry a guy from college, and her parents did not approve because he was not Caucasian. And they didn't believe that interracial marriage was okay. This was a long time ago. But how do you feel about that? Yeah, thumbs down. Like, is that a reason to disobey and show dishonor to your parents? Boy, it's close. Honor your father and mother. Are college students children or adults? They're in that in-between, the awkward in-between. But let's say they're adults. They may not have to obey, but they do have to honor. And that was a dicey situation for that person. What am I going to do? And it could have resulted in a permanently broken relationship. They did marry. Those months before the wedding were dicey. They were bumpy. It was hard and awkward, but the kids disobeyed respectfully. Say kids, right? Eventually, the parents did agree to support them. They came around, and now years later, they have a healthy relationship. It's good now. That was hard. Sometimes you have to disobey, but you don't ever have to dishonor. Bottom line, the emphasis of the passage for kids who still live at home is to obey. For adult children, it's to honor. So there's another thing I appreciate in this passage is that what's here. It talks to children, and then it talks to fathers. And just the command to kids, it just dovetails really well with command to fathers, creating more of a balance. This isn't just only talking to kids, obey. So dads don't get to force their kids to do whatever they want them to do. Bible says obey, period. No, it also says don't provoke your kids. Dads are also under authority, the authority of the Almighty. So we got to remember that as dads. Parents, we can give consequences, but we can't force obedience. And sometimes there may be a point in time we got to release our kids to God's ultimate authority. And that often can happen in the late teenage years, early adult years. We got to give them space. Kids obey, dads don't provoke. That's what we're called to do. We got to focus on our part, not the other person's part. And when both parties are doing it, it's beautiful. It's wonderful. But we got to work through it. One last question I have for you guys, and I think this is important to think about, so we're not going to skip it, even though we're kind of out of time. How do the commands that we've been talking about today connect back to Ephesians 1 through 3? We spent a lot of time in the first three chapters. It talks about our relationship with God and who we are as followers of Jesus. How do the first three chapters relate to these commands? Go ahead, see what you come up with, and then we'll finish up. This one's a harder one, right? This one's a harder one. What'd you come up with? Yeah.
The first three chapters are about our relationship with God. And so just like we're supposed to submit to God as authority, we're also supposed to submit to the authorities that God gives us.
Yeah. The first three chapters are about our relationship with God, His authority in our lives, and it follows that we follow Him as our authority. God's given us parents, and we've got to follow
their authority too. What else? Anybody want to give it a shot? Yeah.
The first three chapters also talk about God's love and grace and how he trains us by his love and grace.
Yeah.
And Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 talks about grace, that we're saved by grace, but it also says that we're created in him to do good works. Mm-hmm. And so we're supposed to respond to his grace in loving one another.
Yeah. Our relationship with God is bathed in grace. Yes, he's our authority, but he's a gracious authority. Parents want to have gracious authority. Let me just wrap it up. Just here's my thoughts about how it relates to each section for dads, for parents. The better I grasp the truths in Ephesians 1 to 3, who I am, my identity in Christ, my forgiveness, the grace, like I'm chosen, I'm secure in him, the more secure I'll be in my relationship with God. He's my dad, I'm his kid. The nearer I'll be to the perfect model. He's my heavenly father, right? He's the model. The better I understand his love for me, the more I'm going to grow in love for him, and the more I'll become like him, and the more I become like God, the better I'm going to be at being a dad or a mom. But I'm not a mom. If I'm a child, as I understand better and better who I am as a child of God, the stronger my foundation is going to be, so I'm going to be able to handle in a godly way. And this comes first full circle to what Wakeland said earlier. When I understand my foundation, I'm going to handle in a godly way when my parents don't get it right. Because they're not going to. They're going to fail. Parents are going to mess up. They're going to exasperate their kids. Kids are going to mess up. They're going to disobey their parents. But has God been gracious with us? Has God been gracious with us? Absolutely. And since he's been gracious with us, we can be gracious with the other imperfect members of our family. Amen? Last thing, this is just between you and God. The worship team's going to come up, and as they do, think about this question. What is one way you believe God wants you to directly apply these instructions in your own situation? How does this relate to you? Talk to God about that. No groups, just you and God. And then we're going to bring a song to end and just lift our voices up to God. True. We need it. We need his word. We need his wisdom. Let's rise and lift our voices to him together.
The song of ages to the Lamb, and all who've gone before us, and all who will believe, sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name above them all thrones and dominions. forgiven. And if you've been redeemed, sing the song forever to the Lamb. If you walk in freedom, and if you bear His name, sing the song forever to the Lamb. We'll sing the song forever and amen, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Hear your people sing, holy, to the King of Kings, holy, you will always be, holy, holy forever.
Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. Jesus, your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your love you. Thank you for your mercy. May we be merciful too. In Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat. Real quick, we're going to wrap up. We're a little bit later than we like, but I really wanted you guys to be able to talk. I hope that was helpful. I hope that was good to have those discussions. We got home groups this week. Discuss this some more. We might talk some more about the questions we already talked about. We'll see where that goes. We'll talk about the message in home groups, so join us for that. Guys bowling night, there's been a change. It's not at 6:30 because I'm not detail guy and I miss the detail. You can't go when we wanted to go. So we're going at 4 o'clock in the afternoon to most of you guys I talked to. But if you want to do the bowling, the guys bowling, it's 4 o'clock Saturday. Let me know if you haven't already, but that's coming up. Also, in your program, for the first time, the Oasis All-Nighter Reverb is happening, and that's for middle school, high school kids, but it's also for some adults who are willing to come and stay up all night running around from place to place. We will not be sleeping from Friday night to Saturday morning. We need some crazy adults who are willing to chaperone, who have their clearances. So please let me know if you want to subject yourself to that with me. I'm still going to do it, but join us for that. There's also a family in Kutztown that needs our help, and several people have stood up to help. It's also in your program, but they only need, there was a bunch of things they needed. Now they're down to, they need two people who are willing to provide one meal once a month. And then their coverage, the support this family needs will be met. So you can read the details about that. But two people to say once a month for a year, I'll do that. That's 12 meals over 12 months. And that's a doable thing to make a big difference for this family. Thank you for being here today, guys. I hope it was beneficial. I hope it was helpful for you. It's helpful for me. I need to think about this stuff too. Enjoy the rest of the day. Downstairs, I believe there are refreshments if you want to check that out and hang out for a while. Another church is coming in about 20, 25 minutes. They'll be here, so we got to make space for them, but we have some time. So have a wonderful day.